dinner parties. As we listened to the Old Testament reading, we heard about a special dinner party. Abraham, sitting in his tent, the heat of the day, he's under the oaks of Mamre to have a little shade. He's there in the land of Canaan, a little bit south of Bethlehem. And as he looks up, he sees three men coming. Men that he likely hasn't seen before. But he senses that they're going to be hot and tired, hungry and thirsty. And so he goes out to greet them. He welcomes them. Has a servant get some water so that they can wash his feet and refresh them. He invites them to stay for a meal, and they agree to do so. Now we recognize this isn't going to be any fast food. And to realize that Abraham is 99, Sarah is 89. So Abraham goes to Sarah and says, "Hurry up, why don't you bake some bread? We've got guests." And then he goes out to the field and gets an animal, a nice tender young calf, and has a servant prepare it so that they can eat. What a privilege, what an honor it was for Abraham to be able to serve these guests who had come. It was a joy for him to serve them. Well, 2,000 years later, the gospel reading, it's the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Scripture doesn't tell us which of them was the oldest or which of them was the youngest. They're living in Bethany, which is a couple of miles from Jerusalem. Jesus was a friend of theirs. And so it was that Jesus, after he had told the story of the Good Samaritan that we heard as the gospel reading last week, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen to him there. And yet he was going willingly, lovingly, because there he would be crucified for the sins of all mankind. And so it was that he stopped at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Martha's all concerned. She wants to make a meal for him. What an honor that she could offer to him. Mary, on the other hand, went to sit and listen as Jesus would be teaching, and maybe he would be teaching about his suffering and death that was coming and how important that was for all mankind. And we can imagine Martha all excited to serve this meal for the Lord, but after a while, it became a bit tedious. And she started to resent Mary, and maybe even thought to herself, you know, lazy Mary, just sitting there listening to Jesus. Why doesn't she help me? And so can't you imagine her kind of motioning to Mary and saying, "Come here, help me." Didn't do any good. So you can imagine banging the pots and pans around so everybody would know how hard she was working. And that didn't change anything. So finally, in her frustration, she goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, why don't you tell my sister to come and help me?" And then Jesus says those words that we know so well. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried and troubled about so many things, but you know what? Mary has actually chosen the one thing needful, and that will not be taken away from her." And so the question certainly comes to us. So what's wrong with serving? I mean, as we listen to the Old Testament reading, we're kind of impressed with Abraham and his serving of these guests that had come. The Good Samaritan, what a server that he was, as we heard last week. Scripture talks over and over about serving in the Lord's name and how special and important that is. Martha was doing some good serving, except, did you notice what happened in terms of her attitude? That after a bit, she began to resent. Resent Mary, maybe even resent her having to do all this work. Now it became a burden. The joy was gone. does that happen to us? Whether in our own home, whether in the community, or maybe even in the church. Then in our serving, we mean well, but after a bit, maybe we begin to resent those others that don't seem to be serving as much as we do. Begin to judge them. Look down on them. We begin to feel sorry for ourselves. And how good for us then to hear again Jesus' words to Martha. Don't be so worried. Don't be so troubled about so many things, but recognize the one thing needful. First, putting the Lord first. First, recognizing the need to be hearing His word, to be hearing what He has to say, that as He refreshes us, that He strengthens us, as He nurtures us, yes, and then we can go forth and serve with a good servant's heart, with a good attitude. Otherwise, we kind of get off kilter. We center in ourselves rather than centering in Jesus, kind of like having a record or a CD that's just off. It isn't quite right. And so Jesus saying, you know, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. How important that we recognize and hear that message of His giving of His life, of His giving us the motivation, His giving us the desire, yes, to be serving in His name, but because first of all, why did the Lord give the Sabbath for us? For worship, for meditating on God's word. And so as a branch that becomes broken off from the tree or from the vine withers up and dies. But as long as it remains attached, then it can flourish. Then it can produce fruit. And so for us, in our producing fruit that we gather in the Lord's name, that we gather to be strengthened by Him as He serves us by His going to the cross, as He serves us with His word, with His baptism, with His supper. Don't let the worries, the concerns, the troubles of this life overwhelm you. You know, in the parable that Jesus told about the man who was scattering the seed being the word of God, the worries, the anxieties of life, he says, have a way of just choking out that seed, that word in us. And so rather that we keep coming here, and what a blessing that we can begin the week sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His words, being nourished, and even to receive the supper, another meal, 2,000 years later than the meal for Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. A meal in which He assures us of His love, and He gives us guidance in His word as to live, as to serve. And so we come, eat and drink, be nourished, be strengthened, and then go forth to serve in His name, to His glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.